From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs, and this really could be a woe is me episode. No, not really. You look at this game, and Kansas City put up 51 points in a losing effort. Yes, the loss hurts. Lots of things didn't go the Chiefs' way tonight, and that's really what it comes down to. Lots of different places you could place blame. Patrick Mahomes didn't have his best game in certain instances, but at the same time, he played pretty well, almost threw for 500 yards and had five touchdown passes, so that was impressive.
Matt, this is historical, right? I mean, that's the thing that came down to me at the end. This is an historical game.
One would think so. I mean, hey, the NFL is a whole different game now. So, I mean, maybe 5 years from now, we're all sitting back here and we're watching these 55, 52 ball games, 54, 51 games, and they're second nature. But right now, no. I mean, this is something you're going to see for a while. I mean, like I said it on Twitter, you know, shortly after the game, the tough thing for Chiefs fans is that you're going to see this game thousands of times over the years because ESPN Classic, NFL Network, this game is going to run ad nauseum just over and over and over again for years. It's because it was that kind of game. I mean, just both teams going back and forth, the crazy plays, offense and defense. This is one for the books. I mean, this is going to be the game of the year for quite some time. I mean, it's going to take something to top this one.
Yeah, and I have to say I was wrong. It was six touchdown passes. He was one short of the NFL record of seven touchdown passes in a game. So, yeah, big game from him. Unreal. I thought he played phenomenal most of the first half and the part of the second half as well. Those two stack strips, really hard to get past those. But the impressive thing that he did on those, to me at least, is he turned the ball over and he came back down as soon as he got the ball back and took it for a touchdown. And those were huge things.
I mean, I'll say this. I mean, and this is a little bit devil's advocate here, but I will say this. 478 yards, six touchdowns, and I don't think this is anywhere close to his best game. I think there were just too many mistakes. You know, the interceptions at the end, those were, you know, there were forced balls that he didn't have to throw in that spot. You know, he could have just thrown the ball away, lived for another play. I mean, neither one of those throws were smart throws. I mean, they were absolute total forces. And I don't think he needed to make them. He had the strips. I think a couple of those, you know, some of those, even some of the ones he didn't fumble on, it looked like his clock was off tonight. He just was not quite in rhythm. 470 yards, six touchdowns. That was incredible. But it's actually a testament to the kid that you can say that this was far from anywhere close to his best game, just because, you know, with the turnovers and everything like that. But there's a lot of room there. I mean, for him to be able to have a game like this when he's not at his best and to still put up 51 points and six touchdowns, that says something. I mean, you're going to be okay. I mean, if you're a Chiefs fan, you're going to be okay. This is not a game that, you know, to worry about. It's not nothing to linger on. Don't let it get you down. There's a lot of promising things that come out of this game.
I could not agree with you more because, and I'll even go a step farther. I thought that last interception, I thought his arm was hit on the play. So
it was. Yeah.
I thought Tyreek had gotten behind the defense, and if he hadn't been touched, I think that ball is a touchdown, they win the game. But I agree with you. I thought generally the last, and I don't want to go down a huge road here, but I thought generally the last 2 minutes were a little suspect all the way around. I felt like both Reed and Mahomes were pushing, just trying to make big plays constantly. I even said I paused literally the play as that play was starting, the interception, said, just run Kareem. Knock 40 seconds off of this clock right now. And I felt like they got away from that. And I thought both Reed and Mahomes just kind of pushed too hard.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could really, yeah, in those last three drives, I mean, I think you could fault a couple of things. You know, they obviously, you could say that they scored too quickly on the final touchdown drive. And you go back to training camp. I mean, if you were up there in St. Joe, you saw, you know, this team worked on drives where, you know, exactly this scenario, you know, 8-9 minute, left to go. In this case, they had 6.5 minutes. they worked on that scenario. I mean, that's exactly what teams need to be able to do, is to pound out and say, you know what, we're going to score here, but we're going to take as much time off the clock as we can. And yeah, they had a penalty that, you know, kind of put them into a position where they kind of had to score quickly. I mean, they just, there's no way to kind of avoid it at some point. But you're right. I mean, and to me, that was the time to just really try and, you know, ground it out. I mean, you've got to feel pretty good at that point that you can move the football, that you're going to do that. Just run off as much clock as you can. And I still think, I mean, I still think that Andy Reid actually managed the clock better in this game than Sean McVay did. But, you know, they could have put this game away and not left the Rams with much of a chance at all, with very little time left and no timeouts.
Well, what I will say is that I'm starting to wonder if Kelce has a problem with drops, because to me, the first three incompletions Patrick Mahomes had this game was to Travis Kelce. Now, two of them were high, I'll give him that. But the touchdown that didn't get caught by him, and then Conley came back and got a touchdown the next play, that was a ball I thought he should have caught. And then later in the game, in the fourth quarter, he dropped a third and two pass that, yeah, it was going to be a tough catch, but you got to have those plays, especially from your superstar tight end. He's got to make those plays. And one of the things that I've seen this season is that he seems to be struggling at different points in the season with drops. And I think that's going to be a big thing that he needs to get fixed, so the team can be as good as they should be. What I will say, though, is, for the first time this season, without Sammy Watkins, the Chiefs' offense still looked very good.
Yeah, it did. That was I thought that was pretty remarkable, because once Watkins left the lineup, I thought that was going to be something that might slow them down, and it didn't. They powered through it tonight. You know, with Kelce, I'll ask the question of, you know, whether some of the problems that he's had this year with drops and maybe some catches that he's made in the past, I wonder if it is just an adjustment to Mahomes and still getting used to that ball. You know, a lot of the plays that we've seen and everything that they have had some trouble with connecting. Remember, Mahomes still has a problem with the changeup. I mean, he fires the ball, and that can be a tough pass to catch. I mean, he delivers it with a fair amount of steam. So, you know, is that something that it's a combination? If it's a matter of, you know, Kelce just needs to get more time with Mahomes to get the adjustment down to make those catches? Or is it a little bit on Mahomes that, hey, you know, you've got your tight end over the middle for a 3-yard gain. You need to just take a little bit off of it and make that ball easier to catch.
I got to tell you, I cannot speak intelligently in baseball slang. So I'm just going to say I agree with you. There's an adjustment that needs to be made. But I would hope that at this point in the season, that should have been done by now. So I'm a little concerned that it's lingering.
Well, you know, I think that's something that can take some time between a receiver and a quarterback to get down. And I mean, I think it's something that takes more than maybe a season. You know, it's something that, especially I think with a quarterback like Mahomes, that he does put so much on the ball. I think there is a certain amount of adjustment there, and maybe that's not it. Maybe there really is. Maybe there is something with, you know, Kelce's just having, maybe he's having a slump. Maybe he's having a bad season. Numbers say, you know, hey, he's doing pretty well. And, you know, it's not like he's, you know, dropped 12 passes or anything like that. They're just some misconnections here and there. And the thing is that can just be off a hair as far as these two guys being on the same page. You know, Mahomes being able to, you know, just have the right amount of timing with Kelce running his routes, Kelce, you know, making adjustments and understanding where Mahomes likes to throw the ball. Yeah, I think you'd like to think that at this point in the season that it would be down, but it's a whole new thing. I mean, this isn't the same quarterback that Kelce has been catching passes from his entire NFL career. It's a whole new thing. To me, I think you can give it some time. If it keeps happening, then yeah, I mean, I think you're going to be concerned, but so far, to me, Kelce still looks like he's an all-pro caliber tight end.
And I'm not trying to say he's not an all-pro caliber tight end. I'm just saying that he has had bigger drops and more drops this season than I remember him having in the past. And I understand he's got to adjust to the ball that Mahomes throws, and I get that. I'm just saying that in order for the Chiefs to go where we think that they should be able to go, he cannot drop the passes that he's dropped in games like this, because in on that third and two possession, they have to kick. At that point, if they can go down and score a touchdown, this is a completely different game. I mean, there's lots of instances where the Chiefs could have won this game tonight, and I'm not saying that it's on Kelce completely. I'm just saying he needs to be able to make those plays, and especially on third down. I mean, it's so huge. Mahomes had so many big throws to Tyreek Hill tonight on third down that were ridiculous.
You'll get no argument from me. Folks, we want you to make sure you check out the rest of Locked On Network shows. We have a ton of them for both colleges and all of the NFL teams. Make sure you hit Matt Williamson up because he's doing a great job, and I have a feeling we'll be talking to him fairly soon. We'll take our first pick. We'll talk about some of the positives. Are you looking to reach new customers? I could be mentioning your business right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors than on web pages or other forms of media. Our demographic is 98% males and offers more opportunities than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email us at lockedonchiefs@gmail.com. Today we're sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the best battery heated clothing on the market. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. They're engineered for safely and efficiently delivering heat via heating panels, similar to the heating in your car seats. Perfect for a friend or family during the holiday season. And Action Heat clothing provides a toasty warmth whenever you want it, comfort for your whole body. And they have an array of different products from jackets, socks, gloves, hats, the whole nine yards. They're available in men's and women's, and they make some great gifts for this holiday season. It's certainly wintertime, and there's snow on my ground. I don't know about you, but what we've got for you is a special offer, and that's to save 20% on your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. All those hats, gloves, mittens, everything you need to put the kids outside or to go snowplow. That's actionheat.com/lockedon and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You can save 20%. Stay toasty and warm while you enjoy all the outdoor activities that winter has for you. We thank them for sponsoring the podcast. And I'm not trying to steer the conversation away. I agree with what you guys are saying about having some concerns, but there are also a number of positives that came out of this game. And first and foremost, I want to know your opinions, because when I saw Sammy not come back in the game, I thought that was really going to put a damper on this particular offensive performance. But I have to give Chris Conley credit, and I have to give Pat credit for not shying away from him. Matt, how did you feel about the two of them and what they were able to do?
Yeah, it was a really good game from Conley. Maybe one of the better ones of his career. What, 7 catches, 74 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Especially on the one touchdown you saw, Mahomes going to his left and Conley coming back that way. Really just a good indication is just to kind of those two guys be on the same page. Conley really seems to understand how Mahomes works when plays start to break down, when it starts to move out of the pocket. We've seen that a couple of times now when they've been able to score touchdowns off of that. And Conley's a really smart receiver, and I think you saw that tonight. It was huge that, you know, with Watkins not, you know, being in there, that I think we like we were talking about earlier, that I expected the offense to struggle. And they were a little, that first drive was a little rough, but once they got going, I mean, didn't think anything was going to slow this offense down. They were pretty much the only thing that was stopping this offense was themselves. And sometimes it was play calling, sometimes it was execution, sometimes maybe it was the officials. We can get into that a whole other time. But this offense performed much better than I ever thought they would without Sammy Watkins in there.
Well, that was the biggest takeaway I had for this game as well, is that you look at what Watkins has done so far for this season and how Kansas City's played when they haven't had him. And they have not scored as many points, and they basically blew the doors off that tonight. I don't think he played a snap after the first drive. They just lit up the scoreboard regardless. Tyreek Hill had a monster game, obviously, phenomenal in most aspects, although, you know, you're going to have to, you know, tell him that it's okay to let the ball bounce when he's trying to return punts, because there's a couple of times I think they should have taken some touchbacks on punts. But other than that, I think he played an overall great game. They didn't run that much, which understandable considering they were trying to keep up in the scoreboard. You know, we haven't talked about it at all yet, and I think that we're doing a disservice to the defense, because I thought the defense, they started out really rough, but I think they came along at the very end of the game, and they were doing pretty well for a lot of the second half. They were really frustrating Goff at times.
It's a real mystery. I mean, you look at the drives and everything, the way they broke down. I mean, it was a tale of, you know, just stretches and runs. You know, the first quarter could not do anything to stop the Rams. Second quarter, good grief, they just absolutely shut them down. Third quarter, starting again, they could not stop anything. But once they started getting some pressure on Goff, you know, obviously he had the big turnovers. Yeah, Chris Jones with a couple of big sacks again. D4, Justin Houston made a couple of plays. I think you would like to see some more plays from your inside guys. We did not really hear Hitchens, Ragland, little bit of O'Daniel. He had a couple of plays, but you know, those guys were pretty quiet tonight, and that was I think that's a bad sign. I mean, you need to have those guys being able to make plays, because if it's your corners and safeties having to stop people downfield, that means you're giving up big chunks. And Ryan, you hit it on your game plan on the site and everything, that you know, you needed to be able to avoid the chunk plays. They needed to play gap sound, and this defense didn't always do that. I mean, they did play well in periods, and they had some stretches where they played extremely well. And had they won this game, I mean, you probably could have credited the defense for the few stops that they had. But unfortunately, Rams defense had just a few more stops and a few bigger plays.
I agree. And I'll tell you this. I felt like I didn't find myself noticing Dorian O'Daniel that much, or Daniel O'Dorian, or whatever it was on 810 today. Sorry.
I still do it.
But I took away, and I understand where you're coming from. He had some bad plays. He had some good plays as well. But I took not noticing that much as my takeaway is that was a good thing in particular for O'Daniel. I thought it was interesting that they started with Hitch and then brought Ragland in. And in the meantime, they were able to corral Gurley enough that I felt like that was part of the reason that McVay went away from Gurley. And then having Ragland in there just kind of sealed that deal for them and took a dimension of their offense away.
Well, I do want to mention that because, you know, had you told me that Todd Gurley was going to have 55 yards rushing, 39 yards receiving, and no touchdowns, I would have said Chiefs 45, Rams 13.
Right.
And I would have bet $20,000 that you were wrong. I'm just going to say that.
Brandon Cooks, no touchdowns. I mean, you know, the Chiefs got beat by guys other than the big three for the Rams and other than Goff. You know, it was the defensive scores. It was Everett. It was, you know, yeah, Goff did, I guess he did scramble for the touchdown, but you know, the Chiefs.
Oh, you mean the touchdown that shouldn't have counted?
The touchdown that should not have counted. The Chiefs actually did a pretty good job on the Rams' big three most of the game. It was just they didn't pay attention to the other guys, and the other guys made some plays tonight.
I have to give Gerald Everett a lot of credit. I kind of half-heartedly mentioned him in the game plan video because I know what kind of an athlete he is. I was shocked to see that Higbee actually got the bigger chunk of the attention in terms of targets, but Everett made it pay off. Was that a surprise to you at all?
Yeah, I mean, it was to me because I figured that if the Rams were going to score 54 points, they were going to be doing it, you know, going deep most of the game, taking advantage of Cooks, Woods, and Gurley, that those guys were going to be the chunk of the offense. And, you know, good grief, between the three of them, you know, one touchdown, really not, relatively speaking, not a huge amount of yards. It definitely surprised me because the Rams, you know, they're going to be looking for another target with Cooper Kupp out. And yeah, I think that Josh Reynolds was kind of the smart money about who that would be. But, you know, if Higbee and Everett, those guys can step up. I mean, maybe the Rams aren't going to miss a beat. Maybe this offense is going to be able to perk along. I mean, based on what they did tonight, they're not going to miss Cooper Kupp.
One thing I got to say real quick, and we probably need to go to another break, but I tweeted this out right after the game. The one thing that we've seen play out several times this year is Mahomes learns from his mistakes. To me, that's what's going to be a big takeaway from this game, because if these two teams play in February, there's no way he's turning the ball over five times.
I would say no. I mean, I would agree with you that you would think that he would not do that, that he and Andy Reid would both learn from this. There are some things that, you know, once again, you know, Patrick Mahomes came out a little amped up tonight. I think that was probably the one thing on that first drive that kind of stood out. And that's something I thought he'd put behind him in that Cincinnati game, you know, coming out in prime time. Maybe it was just playing in that big of a crowd. You know, the atmosphere of what this was tonight, maybe that got him a little bit more fired up, but you know, he's got to figure that out. He's got to be able to learn to come out, just dial it down a little bit. You love the fire in the kid, and it comes in handy a lot of times. But the one thing I think that this team, and I think it was Ryan, you kind of mentioned it a little bit with Tyreek Hill. The one thing that I think this offense needs to learn coming out of tonight is that they can score, they can do almost anything they want to most of the time, but they can't press. And I felt like Mahomes pressed a few times. I think, you know, Tyreek Hill pressed a few times on punt returns. They are so good, they don't have to do that. And if they can manage to get that, you know, into their heads that and be confident enough that, hey, you know what? We don't need to push anything. We're going to score. We're going to do our thing. We don't need to take unnecessary chances. We don't need to force it. They're going to be so good down the road.
I agree. I think this is a stepping stone, and we got to remember that how many rookies started tonight? Three, right? Plus Mahomes. I mean, a lot of young players in key positions, never been in a primetime game like this before against this kind of competition. I will say that I was surprised that the better defense ended up being Los Angeles, but I think post game, especially with the fact that you haven't lost your lead on the rest of the AFC field, I think this is a learning opportunity that is rare in this league, in that you played your heart out, you lost by a narrow margin, and you're going to be smarter and better for it tomorrow.
And let's face it, we are grading on a big time curve here, because you're right. I mean, talking about Patrick Mahomes, we just expect so much out of him. I mean, based on what he's done so far, we expect him to play like a veteran every single week. We expect him to be that Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers kind of quarterback every single week. And that's a lot to expect, but I know that he expects it of himself. So I'm definitely grading on a little bit of a curve here. I mean, I'm being more harsh of a second year quarterback than I would for just about anybody else, because Mahomes proven he can do it. And if he can learn from just a couple of the things tonight, good grief, there's no telling what he can do down the road.
But what you're saying though, Matt, is you're looking at a QB that is on track right now for just under 5,300 yards passing and 54 passing touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, we're definitely grading on a bit of a curve here. I mean, it's
so high.
But then again, you know, I saw earlier the stat that he's the first quarterback with at least five touchdowns and five turnovers in the game since Gus Frerotte in 2000. Gus Frerotte's not a category you want to be in.
Nope.
Let's not be Gus. Let me ask you this. Is this an anomaly, or is it too much focus on downfield?
I only thought it was too much of a focus on just at the end there. I mean, I'll say this. Like I said, I felt like he was forcing it a lot tonight, and rather than just letting it come to him and taking what was given, there was another great example. What was it? It was on a ball that he threw down to Tyreek that got knocked away. He had Chris Conley, you know, breaking across wide open on a cross route that if he'd hit him, it would have gone for a big touchdown. You know, he does tend to look downfield for the big play first, and that's going to work out a lot of the times. But sometimes it means he's given up maybe an even more open play that can go for a big play, but it's just not downfield. And there at the end, especially, I mean, once again, it was, they didn't need a touchdown on those last two drives. They needed the field goal. That's all they needed. And he's looking for the touchdown. And that's something I think you can learn from.
But I also thought in the last drive, I thought they went a little too conservative on the first two plays and burned through too much clock. I get that you want to get a first down, but to me, hitting Kelce for a 5 or 6 yard gain is not something you want to do in that situation. You want to try to hit chunk plays of at least, you know, 12, 15 yards.
Yeah, you needed to do two things. One of two things in that situation. You either needed to get the ball quickly out to the sideline, just, you know, so you can get out of bounds, or, you know, take what the defense is giving you. I mean, if they're going to give you the middle of the field, you know, go down the middle of the field. No, don't go short. I say that, but at the same time, not asking him to, you know, do one of the 50, 60 yard, you know, throws downfield on the run. That's kind of the unnecessary risk. I mean, that's not what you needed at that point. You just needed to get in the field goal range, and that's a couple of, you know, 17, 25 yard gains. You don't need to get it on one chunk.
Well, yeah, and exactly. And you're talking about a situation where if he throws on first down, if he throws a pass that's 20, 25 yards down the field, they can take a timeout. They had one timeout, and then they're sitting there at the 50 yard line or 45 yard line or wherever, and they're almost in field goal range at that point.
And I won't put it all on Patrick Mahomes, because I do think that the play calling was a little bit at fault there, because the options that he had did not fit the situation real well. And Andy Reid admitted as much in his postgame press conference that, you know, he said, hey, he could have called better plays in those last couple of drives, and he could have.
I completely agree with that as well. Let's take a quick break, and we will be right back for closing comments. All right, Ryan, tell us your takeaway from this game.
You know, it felt overall like a drag race. It felt like a spectacle. All this stuff with moving the field and, you know, time spent in Colorado and all this and the emotion of the whole what's going on in California. And I do give the NFL and the Rams credit. It was good to see them recognize first responders. That's important. And I did like, and it's rare for me to say this, I like that Wade was wearing a fire department hat and that kind of stuff. But I felt like that was like, this was, man, this is the closest regular season game I've ever seen to a Super Bowl atmosphere. It was that big. And I think that overall is a good thing for this team to get a little inkling of, because I think while the Saints probably match up with the Rams better than the Chiefs do, I feel like this is a matchup we may get to see again this season.
Well, and not only are you might see this matchup again, you're certainly, I think, going to see the Chiefs up against the Patriots again, and it's the same game. I mean, you're playing the exact same type of game. I mean, the Chiefs are going to have a few more times this season where they're going to have games that are like this, and it's going to be the last team to score, and they need to figure out what they need to learn from this. I mean, they need to figure out what they could do better. I mean, I'm not going to be too critical of a team that scores 51 points. I mean, that's pretty darn good. But this was a winnable game, and in some ways it just kind of slipped away from him.
Well, it definitely slipped away from him, and Mahomes made a couple of mistakes that obviously he would like to have back. But again, I go back to what I said earlier. I do think that he's going to learn from these, and I think it's going to make him a better QB down the road. You also look at what this defense was able to do. You know, you had a sack by Houston. You had a strip sack by Houston where Bailey returns it for a touchdown. You had another strip sack where Mahomes ends up throwing a touchdown pass the next play. You had two instances where the Chiefs were down 13 points and 10 points, and within a minute and a half, I think they scored 14 points and either went up by one or went up by four. That is the definition of a quick strike football team, and that's huge for Kansas City moving forward. Let me ask you one last question, Matt. Eric Berry, do you think he returns after the bye week?
I mean, that's what it has seemed like probably over the last month or so. It seemed like the most likely scenario was that they were just waiting for the bye for him to come back. I'll say this. I mean, to me, it's a show me thing. I don't care who tells me. I don't care what I hear. Until I see him on a field, I'm not going to believe it, because I've been hearing he's getting better every day. He's improving. He's day to day, literally, for 11 weeks, 12 weeks, 13 weeks, however we go back to August 11th. So until I see him on the field, I ain't going to believe it. I mean, and hearing another report that says, hey, it's going to be after the bye, that's what everybody's been crossing their fingers. That's what they've been shooting for now for a couple of weeks. But until I see it, it doesn't happen. It's not real.
Ryan, game ball.
You know, and this is as much about tonight's performance as it was about the evolution of this particular player. I thought Chris Jones stepped up in a way, not only in the plays that he made, but in what he produced out of pushing the rest of that defense. I paid particular attention in between plays and that kind of thing, and I saw a lot of that. And I think another leader, strong leader on this defense is going to help down the line.
Well, I would like to give the game ball to Chris Jones too, but I like to make sure that we've got different choices and spread it around. But I will say this. I was there in St. Joe in the media tent when Chris Jones said he was going to lead the NFL in sacks. And everyone in that tent smiled and chuckled and laughed because it's like, yeah, Chris Jones is going to lead the NFL in sacks. He's one away from leading the AFC in sacks right now. That's incredible. I mean, in the night that he had, I think he had 6 tackles, 3 for a loss here, wrapped up Gurley in the backfield on a really nice play. I mean, he is getting consistency, and that's been the one thing that he's always lacked, and that's always been the knock on him, even going back to college, has been that he's just not consistent. And we're seeing a consistent Chris Jones here this year that we've never seen. But I will give my game ball to Tyreek Hill. 215 yards, 2 touchdowns. It was a heck of a game. I thought he took way too many chances in the return game. I don't think that necessarily hurt the Chiefs. I mean, a few seconds here, 10 yards there. It's probably worth the risk in a couple of those situations, but good grief. I mean, the year that guy's having, career night for him, give it to Tyreek Hill, man.
I'd say it's a pretty fair person to give it to. I'm going to actually give mine, and honestly, I could go with Patrick Mahomes, but at the same time, looking at where he sits right now, really hard for me to give it to him because 5 turnovers. So I'm going to give my game ball to Chris Conley. I thought he played phenomenal for the Chiefs when they needed him the most. His 2 touchdown catches were huge for this team, and I thought he played a fantastic game. His first touchdown catch right before the end of the first half, one of the best catches I've seen. He picked that ball out of the air, and he was already headed to the ground. I thought he played a fantastic game, and I was just as impressed with the second catch because I thought he was going to drop it as he was running away to the end zone.
Well, and the important thing to remember as we go through this Thanksgiving week, folks, and I hope that you enjoy your holiday, we will have shows for you up until we won't have a Thursday show. We'll give you the day off because I know you guys enjoy listening to us, but probably not that much. But we will be back on Friday. This is the big takeaway. Enjoy the fact that your team that you follow is able to put up this kind of numbers, able to command a national presence. You're going to see more flexes. You're going to see this team in the postseason. You're going to see them get in the prime time. So luckily you won't have to watch those wildcard games is my guess. And I think the big takeaway is this team's still on track. This is a setback. It's not anything that's going to hurt this team long term. And I'm just as positive tonight as I was this morning. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing about this game is that it doesn't really have a whole lot to do with your position in the AFC. You've got the edge on New England with, you know, at least being one game up still. You've got a little bit of a cushion with Pittsburgh. You know, that head to head with them is not going to be as meaningful now with the Pittsburgh having the tie. But you've still got an edge on Pittsburgh. This game is not going to come in and really factor in any tiebreakers. So, you know, the Chiefs are on pace right now to definitely be able to lock up one of those top 2 seeds. And yeah, you'd like to get down to number 1, keep that position so you don't have to go to New England. But this team has everything in front of them, and the schedule opens up for them. So 14-2. It's absolutely realistic for this team. And I think 13-3 is the absolute floor. And that's good. That I think will be good enough to get you the number 1 seed.
Yeah. They have 2 games left against the Raiders. They have a game against the Chargers, a game against Baltimore. I think they could definitely go 14-2. I think that's a realistic possibility at this point. I think they're going to be a fantastic team to watch the rest of the season. I will say this. Tyreek Hill through 11 games has 1,100 yards. He is about to get paid this offseason, along with Chris Jones would be my guess. So I think that's it for me.
Well, Matt, thanks for taking the time. I really appreciate it. And folks, if you're missing anything on Chiefs Digest, you're doing football wrong. I know this is a late one, folks. We're going to get this up so you have it for a commute. Hopefully you have that by now. Chris, thank you for your work. Feeling pretty optimistic overall, right?
Absolutely. 9-2 going into the bye week, I think you have to feel optimistic, and you control your own destiny at this point.
Folks, we're on the same page. Hope you're ready for Thanksgiving. We'll be with you tomorrow and the next day. Be back. We'll have more for you. Thanks for listening tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.